front half of the lesson will be numbered now.
Good to see everybody out this evening. Always a great encouragement to be able to come out and study God's Word. Turn it on. All right. So it's good to see everybody out. It's always wonderful to come out to study God's Word. It's the opportunity given to us. And this morning we went forward and talked about Christ as our King. We talked about how wonderful King He is and the ways of which He continues to take care of us and how He is serving us more than we serve Him, as He is, though He is our King, though He is our Master, and has the right to make demands from us, but yet He continues to serve us. And I'm going to continue on that mind thought this evening, and to the extent of not talking about Him being King, but to the extent of looking at a decent amount of what God has already done for us. Psalm 23, I don't believe it's an unknown psalm. It's a psalm that many do know, and especially parts of it at least. The first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." And he continues to go through this psalm, just six verses, and he continues to go, and he makes me lie down in the green pasture. He leads me beside the still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. And he goes on to the next point. He says, I walk through the valley of death, and yet he does not fear. You know, and everything that David had gone through and everything that he lived his life, he says, I had my faith in God and all is good. Like, I don't want to focus on that first verse. To the extent he says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. The question, the title of the lesson this evening is, what more could you ask? What more is there that we could go forth and ask from our God, from our Father in heaven, from our Lord and Savior? We've already talked a bit about this morning. We may cover a couple of the same points. But in the idea that He has done so much for us, what more could we really ask for? And I told Ron the title of the lesson for him to put it up there so he knows which PowerPoint to grab off my thumb drive. He said, oh, you don't want to get me started. Because that's the mindset of mankind too, right? There is a good list that we could ask for. And so much that we could get done and need to get done and we desire to have. And so therefore we have that list if you really want that list. When you look at what God has already given, what God has already blessed us, can we truly continue to seek so much more from Him? First point, I believe, is an obvious point to the extent that He created us. He created you. He created me. God has blessed us with life. Can we really ask more than just that? In Genesis chapter 2 and verse 7, if you will. Genesis chapter 2 and in verse 7. As it reads there, it says, and the Lord God formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. He gave us the breath of life, and we became a living being. He created you. He created us. He gave us life. I mean, just that alone, with that one point, can we ask for more? Well, he's given us life. Not only did he give us life, but he made it where we didn't have to live long. And you say there in Genesis 2, verse 18, says, and the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. And you jump down to verse 21, it tells us how he had done it. It says, and the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. God created him. God saw that being alone was not good. He saw the one thing that was not a good thing. And he fixed it. He made sure that we didn't have to live our lives upon this earth by ourselves. He made us male and female, as brought out in Matthew 19, verse 4. God created us. God gave us companions. But
Not only that, but when you think about all that God has created on this earth, you think about creating this world. And then, of course, we know he created the birds of the air. He created the fish of the sea. And then he goes forth and creates all living creatures and creepy things upon this earth. And then he created mankind. And guess what? He gave us dominion over everything. He gave us dominion over all this earth, over all the beasts and creatures of this world. He let us rule in. Genesis 1, verse 26, as it says, then God said, let us make man in our image according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. And when you take that into consideration,
we're not the biggest creatures in this world. You compare us to a bear. Who's strong? Who's going to win a hand-on fight?
I'm not going to go up against that big old bear. But we're not stronger than they are. Yeah, we have dominion over them. There are many other creatures in this world that we're a lot smaller than. But God has created us in a way in which we are smarter, which we are able to rule, which we are able to communicate with one another and have dominion over this world. Made us in his own image.
When you read through Genesis and it talks about the birds of the air, the fish of the sea, and over every creeping thing, it's according to their own image. But when he gives to mankind, he says, let us create them in our image, in the image of God. He created them, male.
We were made to be like God.
God, of course, having dominion over all, over you and I.
Have an authority over us. But he lets us have that authority over everything else that he's created upon us. He's given us a lot. Just in the beginning, when he created mankind, he's blessed us with a lot. And the thing is with the life that we have, we know that we're going to some point or another face death. Death is certain. But guess what? He's given us today. He's given us another day. He's blessed us with today. That's a blessing because as God out, we will return to dust of the ground. This is the consequence of from the beginning in Genesis 3 and verse 19 after Adam and Eve had ate of the fruit of the tree. Genesis 3:19 says, in the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground. For out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and dust you shall return. And we're told in 2 Peter chapter 3, let me read starting in verse 10. 2 Peter 3 and verse 10. It says, but the day the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in which the heavens will pass away with a great noise. And the elements will melt with the fervent heat, both the earth and the works that are in it will be burned up. Therefore, since all these things will be dissolved, what manner of a person ought you to be in holy conduct and godliness? Looking for and hastening the coming of the day of God, because of which the heavens will be dissolved, being on fire, and the elements will melt with the fervent heat. Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Here it tells us, it says, there is a day and time in which our Father, our God, has set aside to destroy all things. So far, he's blessed us with today. So far, he hasn't set that day today. It may be later on today, I don't know. But he's given us now. And are we not thankful for today? For this very moment, for another opportunity to examine our lives, another opportunity to shine our light into others, another day in which we can enjoy the time we have with the family we got. Enjoying the moment that he has blessed us with. We're supposed to consider his long suffering part of our salvation. In 2 Peter 3, and you read verse 9, before what we had already read, and we'll read a little bit after. But in verse 9 it says, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, that some count slackness, but is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. And he says he's not slack concerning his promise. He's not holding back. He's not hasn't delivered. It's the fact that he's waiting. He's promised to return. He's promised to destroy the world. He's promised to bless those who kept his commandments. But it's going to come later. He's waiting, giving other people the opportunity to obey the gospel. Making sure we have the opportunity to truly make sure we put the sin behind us. You look in verse 14 and 15, it says, therefore, beloved, looking forward to these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace without spot and blameless. And consider that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, as also our beloved brother Paul, according to the wisdom given to him, has written to you. Consider today another gift of God. So many get focused on the grace of God. God blesses us with so many gifts. Often we're referring to the sacrifice of Christ when we talk about the grace of God. But he's blessed us with today. Today is another opportunity. Part of his salvation. Part of what he's given us so that we can be saved. Another day to seek his forgiveness. To pray for it. To repent of our sins. Or to reach out to us. Again, as we just consider life in itself, considering, you know, just a couple months old baby, that the time that we've already had with him, thankful for what we have. He's already blessed us with so much. We talked about this morning. We talked how he has given us the necessity. He has promised to take care of us. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 25, and we go all the way throughout the remainder of the chapter. He just continues on that point. Do not worry. Do not worry about what you eat and drink and what you're going to wear. Because he will take care of you. He will provide for you. He'll make sure you have it. As long as we seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, his commandments, we put those things first and he will add these things to you. He will make sure you have what it is you need. He's promised to make sure that you have it. And we know that he can deliver. We saw that he took care of the children of Israel as they wandered in the wilderness, as they were on their way to Canaan, that he gave them manna from the heavens. He provided water through a rock. We know he'll make sure that we have what we need. He's proven himself time and again. I know we made mention of this earlier this morning, but in Psalm 37, as David is making mention here. Psalm 37 and verse 25. He says, I've been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his descendants begging bread. You know, and I'm not saying we don't ever face hard times. And I'm not saying that you don't have the best of the best stuff. If you read through the Word of God, you read how we're supposed to take care of one another, how we're supposed to be a family. Now it talks about if you have a brother in need and you don't give to him, then obviously the love of God is not inside of you. He has a way in which when we see each other in need, we help out one another. If the church is truly working the way we ought to work, then our brothers and sisters in Christ ain't never going to go to that point of begging for bread or in need. Because we're going to step up and fulfill that. God's made sure that someone can take care of it. Just as under the old law, he made sure that those who were armed, he said they were to leave a corner of the field for strangers in the court. He made sure people were taken care of. If we're doing our part, we'll take care of one another. That's how God's provided. God has done so much already. He's prepared a home in heaven. He's given us this earth. He gives us dominion over this world. And then he goes and prepares a better place for us. In John 14, in verse 1. John 14, will, turn there with me. John 14. Go ahead and start in verse 1.
It says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, you may be also." Just think about it. Think about this world that God has already created. It's a beautiful creation. I don't know if anyone here hasn't flown, but if you haven't, meet me. I love it because you look out the window and it's just mind-blowing to me. You're able to look out and just look down upon this world. I can't imagine what it looks like from outer space. Those astronauts looking down and seeing the entire world. But just from an airplane, looking down as you're flying over cities and you're flying over crops, and you see how the layout is. Just, and if you get a flight above the clouds. God has done a wonderful job of creating this world. It's made a beautiful place. But he says he prepares a place for us that's going to be even better. It's going to be even better than what it is upon this earth. Now, I know Revelation chapter 21, we don't know how much of that is literal and what heaven's going to be like, but if it's anything close, how beautiful is heaven going to be? How wonderful is heaven going to be? You're reading Revelation 21 and you're reading verse 4 where it talks about no more tears, no more crying, no more pain, no more suffering. What a wonderful thing. And you continue throughout chapter 21. And you read about streets of gold. And you read about all these different stones that make up the walls. The pearls and just, and if you ever have time, you can go look up each every stone that's mentioned in there. And you see how colorful this place is. But better yet, when you get to the end of chapter 21, it says there's no need of a sun or moon because the Father and the Lamb will be the light. That's where I am. They will be the light. We will be in the presence of our Savior, the presence of our Father up in heaven. They will be our light. What a wonderful, wonderful place that must be. And those who prepare for us. Once again, how much more can we ask for from our Father in heaven? Not only does He prepare a place for us, but He's paid the cost. He says, I'm going to go prepare a place for you. And before He leaves, He pays the cost for us. John 3 and verse 16, He gave His only begotten Son that whoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus paid the cost with His blood. We made mention in Romans 5 and verse 8 this morning that God demonstrated His love for us. How? Christ died. That's how He demonstrates His love, because Christ died for you, paying the cost so that we can get to heaven. And He tells us what we have to do there in 2 Timothy 3 and verse 16 and 17. 2 Timothy 3 and verses 16 and 17 tells us all Scripture is given by the inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, fully equipped for every good work. So here's a contract. This is what you got to do if you desire to have it. It's already paid for. If you sign a dot right here, this is what will get you into heaven. This is what will get you into the home that He has gone to prepare for you. All we have to do is follow. And He's shown us the way as He lived His life upon this earth. We have to follow in His footsteps. That's all we got to do. Look at Him as our example and follow in His footsteps. But He's also warned us that it's not an easy path. And He's warned us that it is the only pathway. In Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7 and verse 13. Matthew 7:13 says, "Enter by the narrow gate, for wide is the gate and broad is the way that leads to destruction. And there are many who go by it, because narrow is the gate and difficult
is the way which leads to life, and there are few who find it. He wants us. There's only one path in which we can stay. It is narrow. It is difficult to stay on that right path. But he's shown us the way. He lived the life and shown us the way. And then he sends the Holy Spirit to make sure that we have it all written out for us. So that we can understand it. So we can know how to get there. He's blessed us so much. James chapter 1 verse 17 tells us every good gift and every perfect gift comes from above. Every good and perfect gift comes from above and comes down from the Father of lights, of whom there is no variation or shadow. Everything that we've been blessed with, every good thing that you can imagine in your life today, that has ever happened, that is a gift from God. That is a blessing from our Father up in heaven. What more could we ask for? What more could you ask for? I didn't make this point on the slides, but one more thing to bring out about God and all that He has done for us already is the fact that in all that He has done for us, all the things we've already talked about, bringing out that every good and perfect gift comes from Him. He still says, come to Him. He still says, pray without ceasing. Him already knowing what it is we need, He says, pray to Him. If we lack wisdom and we need help, He says, pray to Him. We're struggling and we need help, pray to Him. He's given us one another so that we don't have to suffer alone or go through this hardship or through this world by ourselves. But you read in James, he says, confess your trespasses to one another. Why? So that we can pray with one another. So we can pray to God. He continues to want to give more. The question is, have you received His gift? You know, I can go buy somebody something, but if they don't accept it, it's still mine. Still mine. God gave us His Son and shown us the way. But if you don't come forward and accept that gift and be immersed in Christ, washing away your sins, taking the keys to the kingdom of heaven, the gift's not yours yet. It may have your name on it. God has done it for you, but until you accept it and thank Him, we want to extend that opportunity this evening to any who desire to obey the gospel, to any who desire to ask for the prayers of congregation. We let them know as we stand and sing.
There is beyond the answer, will.